How true that is. I know we've heard it over and over and over again, but the power of that name. I can remember years and years ago being in Victor Grove Camp and listening to Sister Faye. And she would begin pleading on her knees. People were praying around. And here was her prayer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And she prayed that over and over. But I want to tell you something. She moved things for God. In Jesus' name. How many times have you been awakened in the night and whispered the name of Jesus and just broke the power of the enemy and drove him away? In Jesus' name. Well, thank the Lord. I'm thankful. Good to hear you folks testify. And somebody back here mentioned about, it's interesting when you listen to people, what things come back to your mind. I was in Tunkhannock years ago pastoring, and we had Brother and Sister Spriggs there for a weekend meeting for the young people, and Sunday night came, and in the youth service, he used to play this big bass violin, you remember? He'd actually massage the thing. It was just a... But they were taking requests in young people's service. And finally looked down, he's standing up here, he says, anybody else? And I used to like the song, so I said, well, do you know I woke up this morning feeling fine? And he said, you did? I still remember that. But my thought, isn't it a wonderful thing that this morning we woke up feeling fine, got up on our own strength and could talk to the Lord and have a good day? Praise the Lord. Well, I will tell you one other thing I thought about. Sometimes we learn the language, but we need to feel the Lord's presence. Our brother mentioned about singing one of these songs, you know, with three words. Well, he used to sing that chorus, God is so good. You remember that? Well, years ago, little Mark Vosburgh, he was just, you know, just a little kid, and he had a little teeny lisp, and he used to say, he liked that song, Dod is so good. That's the way he said it, Dod is so good. Well, I thought that was great. So I was preaching one night, and little Mark fell asleep, and I think he slept the whole service. And on the way out, he was on his father's shoulders, and of course, I always met them at the door and shook hands. And right then, Mark woke up, and he looked and saw me. And as a lot of pilgrims, I figured he had to say something, so... Just waking up, he looked at me and he said, "Dud service." Yeah, he got more asleep than, well, I guess he did. I don't know. Anyway, don't ask me why all that stuff, but our mind wanders at some of the things you folks were saying anyway. And it was, God has been good, and we trust it'll be a dud service tonight. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Now, I'm very, very much aware that you are familiar with this short passage. And so I'm only going to read a portion of it because I'm rather sure you are acquainted with the story. But in this 14th chapter, there was land to be divided by lot. And if you will, we're breaking in at verse 8. Now, I am breaking right in the middle of something here. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I mean, this is a powerful statement. He's 85 years old, and he says, as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God tonight, for the beautiful songs that have been sung, for the fellowship of thy children. Lord, please quicken our minds and our hearts together tonight. Help us to honor you, and we shall praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you, although, again, I'm pretty sure that somewhere along the line everybody has heard over the years this matter and about Caleb. And it is quite impressive at 85 years old. It's quite impressive for a guy to say, I'm just like I was when I was 40. Anybody ever feel like that? Well, some of you aren't 40, so you don't know either way. I can't remember how I felt when I was 40. It was that long ago. Man. But anyway, here is a man that is now saying, give me this mountain. I have a very simple message I want to share with you tonight, and I tried to find the mind of the Lord, and I believe it will be appropriate for us tonight. So I want to ask you a couple of questions, and Naturally, I don't want anyone to answer me. But I want to ask you a question and trust that God will help us. When we enter into camp meeting, do you ever come to camp meeting setting some goals, what you'd really like to see God do in the camp for yourself, possibly? And so I want to ask you this simple question tonight. Here's Caleb. Give me this mountain. Caleb is really a visionary. He's working on the promises of God. And he still wants the mountain. Isn't that great when you're 85 years old? You still have a vision. You still want whatever God has for you. I think that's wonderful. I really do. So my question is this. As we're sitting in this camp meeting, what is your mountain? Say, what do you mean, what is my mountain? Well, I'm not going to take a lot of time to try to prove my point. But I listen to a lot of people as you do. I have relation as you do. I have children and grandchildren as you do. And it seems that almost any direction you look in this day, most everybody seems to have some kind of a mountain in their life. Some kind of a battle, some kind of a struggle. Behind the scenes, we don't see it. Everybody doesn't show their mountains. But my question is, what is your mountain? My second question is very simple. In this camp meeting or the tomorrows of our life, what do you plan on doing about your mountain? I don't know, Brother Myers, it doesn't look very promising. No. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to whine about it. What do you think? I'm going to stare at it and melt. No. What is your mountain? And in this camp meeting, what are you going to do? In other words, a little closer, what is troubling you? And so, with that in mind, what do you want God to do for you this week? Oh, another Brushton camp. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not even the idea. Well, it is another camp. Yes. We go through camp after camp. We have sat in camp meetings most of our lives. And so it is another camp. But what would you like God to do for you in this camp meeting? Now, I know sometimes people look and say, well, they look at the seniors and they think seniors are the only ones that have mountains. I've got news for you. Did you know there are young people that have mountains? Did you know that little children have their own little mountains? You don't think so? Let me tell you. You listen, you get close enough and let a teenager talk with you, and they will share. I don't really know what to do. I think kids have bigger mountains sometimes today than we had when we were growing up. There's no sense kidding ourselves. We're living in a wicked, wicked society, and our children have mountains. Little kids have mountains. Now, you may smile, but you say, oh, those aren't... Well, wait a minute. I was on the telephone one day, and my last little granddaughter, she was just a little girl, she called. And I said, hi, honey, how are things going? And she said, Grandpa, and you could hear the pathos in her voice. She was dead serious. She said, Grandpa, I mean, man, now, you know, of course, grandpas don't care. Let me tell you, man, her voice, who's bothering you? You know, you'll tear them up right now. But anyway, she says, Grandpa, you know what? I said, no, honey, what? She said, Dad and Mom took me down to McDonald's and we're playing in the play area there and there are two boys here. And they were picking on me. And this grew in her voice. And finally she says, you know what, Grandpa? Boys are a strange specimen. She says, I don't know where she got the word. I thought, oh, honey, you learned that early. Now, you smile at that, but those two boys became a mountain. She's going to McDonald's to play. And some little brats, I mean little kids, are picking her. And it becomes a mountain. Now, I know that's immaterial to you, but let me tell you, little children, teenagers, and seniors have mountains. It's not that I, but I did pastor, and I have sat with a number of senior citizens. I have spent hours sitting with senior citizens, but thank God for their stories. You know, Brother Myers, way back when we were in the Depression, Daddy would go and we would pray and the Lord would give our chickens more eggs. I mean, they'd tell you how God answered prayer. It was beautiful. But I have sat with some of them. I don't know if I ought to tell this or not. I am one senior citizen. I get McDonald's cut-rate coffee. But I went into the house of a precious man one time. And he had, in the day, and he had a light on over here on a stand. And I said, Brother, you know, in the day, I said, you know, you should just snap your lights off. And he said, don't touch that light. Don't turn that light off. and honest. Here's this lamp, and under it sat Brother and Sister Whitney's picture. So don't turn that off. He said, they're broadcasting. And I knew he was slipping a little. Did I turn it off? No. You learn to go along with them. I was in there one day and he said, Brother, I'm talking about mountains. He said, Brother Myers, I want to tell you they're coming in here in the night. I said, who? People are getting in here in the night. He was alone. I said, where are they coming in from? I had to try to go along with him and help him through this. He said, they're getting in right behind the couch. Now, if you'd see me, they would have had white coats coming after me. I'm trying to help him through this mountain and over. And so naturally, I had to go outside and find out where they were getting in to get behind that couch. And if you could see me, don't laugh. I was his pastor. And I was outside going all the way around his house. So, you know, in case he's looking, I want him to know I'm going to find his problem. I went all the way around the house. If anybody had seen me, I went, what is that guy looking all the foundation? And I was able to come in and say, I can't find any place they're getting in. Now, you didn't come to hear corny stories, but I want to tell you, everybody has their mountains. And Caleb said, there's a mountain, and he said, give me this mountain. And thank God, whatever your mountain is, child, teenager, middle class, senior, whoever, you can do something with your mountain. Isn't that great? You can do something with your mountain. No question, some of you are facing some mountains this week. But we can commit those mountains to God. But Caleb was definite, and this is what you can do with your mountain. Caleb was definite with his request. Did you notice how he prayed? You know, the scripture says we have not because we ask not, because we ask amiss. He didn't look at the whole range. He said, give me this mountain right there. He was very specific. He was so intent on his personal involvement, he said, give me. Now, it's good to pray for everybody else. But once in a while, when you're alone, it doesn't hurt to say, God, I have to confess, I can't handle this by myself. Say, Lord, give me this. Oh, yes, I know my sister over the church. I know that guy at church. I know he needs grace. I know they need pay. They need help. But, Lord, I need grace. I need a touch. This is my mountain. And so, Lord, give me. So that sounds selfish. Blame Caleb. He's the one that prayed it. He said, give me this mountain. And I, as I said, I am a senior citizen and we have senior citizens here. And I want to address them a moment. Folks, because we are no longer teenagers, my wife ever so often keeps reminding, she says, Donnie, remember, we're not 35 anymore. And then it dawns on me, I'm not. Now, that's corny to a lot of you old folks, but I want to tell you something. You'll get there. Somebody will remind. But, senior citizens, God is able to help us to keep on. Don't give up, in other words. Don't anybody give up. Let's continue to climb. We may have desires, we may have goals for others, but this week, let's individually, we try to conquer our mountain. So out before you is a range of mountains. Their peaks are towering high above the lowlands. And those mountains at times, those peaks penetrate the cloud cover. And I know in the next few moments, and I'm asking you to bear with me because this is so simple, you'll say, oh, come on. Well, You command. If you want to conquer a few mountains, let's think about it for just a little bit. Where in the world are we in this area? There are mountain ranges all over up here, aren't they? Last I knew, I was heading up to the Adirondacks. I guess you're over on the edge, but they're all around here. And you know what? This area and mountains are so common to you people. Don't lose their grandeur. Don't let their beauty slip by you. The mountain ranges over here in the Adirondacks. What I'm going to say next, probably all of you know this, but I want to remind you. I want to use it as a living illustration. Out over here, somebody answer me quick. How many peaks are there over in the Adirondacks? What? What is club that counts how many? Is it 49? Okay. I thought it was 46. Okay. A couple little peaks on, they've grown. But that's good. I used to hear they called it the 46ers Club. You all know what the 46ers Club is, right? No, you don't. If you didn't know how many peaks there were, you don't know what the 46ers Club is. That's a group of people that had made up their mind sometime in a lifetime they were going to climb every one of those 46 peaks. Say, nobody could ever do it. Go over and talk to them in the Lake Placid Church. Challenge the Marshall boys. They have climbed those 40. And believe it or not, there's some guys over there, I don't know, maybe Jack Babitsky has. And he's a 46er club and he sits right back there. So you know I'm not telling stories. There's some over there, I understand, that has done this twice. Oh man, that makes me want to faint to think about it. They join the 46ers club. And I'll tell you something, friends. You say, well, who cares about the Adirondacks and the 46ers clubs? I do. But I'm talking spiritually along life's way. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but it seems like you get over one mountain and you say, wow. And you turn around and say, I can't believe it. Another right in your face. The enemy throws another mountain and another mountain and another mountain. Don't get discouraged, young people. Sissies don't climb mountains. You say amen somewhere there. You got to make up your mind if you're going to climb them. And so spiritually, let's face the challenge. There they are. They're the beautiful mountain ranges. Those mountains over there can be threatening. I mean literally now. There could be thunders clashing and lightning flashing. They can become a real challenge. But we sit and we sing. Do we really mean it in the spiritual sense when we sit and we sing like we mean it? I want to scale the utmost height and catch a glimpse of glory bright. Do we want to go on? Mundane? Average? Oh yeah, another brushing camp. Yeah, I went to camp. What'd you get out of camp? What did you come for? I'm not condemning you. I'm only asking a few questions. You can reach the top if daily you will take the incline step by step. Oh, but Brother Myers, I'd like a lot of things too. A lot of kids today, they come out of school. And you ever notice, they want to start out where the parents are finishing. Anybody with me or am I just, we're in another society. There's the ladder. There's one thing. You get to the top of the ladder. The only way I ever got there is one rung at a time. Now, there are some folks got to the top floor because they got stuck in the elevator. But not everybody does. You can succeed in climbing the mountain, but you got to make up your mind. I was in an airplane flying. I can't remember where I was flying to, but spending some time, I had a book with me and I was reading something. And I want to read this to you. These are not my words. Maybe you don't like reading, but I want to read this to you. As I recall, it was in the, I have it written down, in Streams of the Desert by Spurgeon. And I really like his words. He said, "We ought not to rest content in the midst of the valley. When the summit of Tabor awaits us, how pure are the dews of the hills, how fresh the mountain air, how rich the fare of the dwellers aloft, whose windows look into the new Jerusalem." Don't you like those words? Or is that boring to you? I like the way he puts it. He said, "Many saints are content to live like men in coal mines who see not the sun. Tears mar their faces when they might anoint them with celestial oil. Satisfied I am that many a believer pines in a dungeon when he might walk on the palace roof and view the goodly land and Lebanon." Boy, wouldn't you like to be able to write like that? "Rouse thee, O believers, from thy low condition. Cut away thy sloth, thy lethargy, thy coldness, or whatever interferes with thy chaste and pure love to Christ. Make him the source, the center, and the circumference of all thy soul's range of delight. Rest no longer satisfied with thy dwarfish attainments. Aspire to a higher, a nobler, fuller life. Upward," he said, "nearer to God." Boy, I'll tell you, that's mountain climbing. And I know here we are sitting in Brushton Camp and say, "Oh yeah, you guys wave your arms and you say a few words." I'm still asking you, what do you want God to do in this camp meeting? Can we slip right through camp and say, "Oh, good camp, good singing, good trip"? But you can conquer a mountain if you set your goal for it this week. I want God to help me this week. I really do. If you don't need any help, bless your hearts. Some of us do. "We linger in the lowlands because we are afraid to climb the mountains. The steepness and the ruggedness dismay us, so we stay in the misty valleys and do not learn the mystery of the hills." Now get this, 45 years before, Caleb had been promised this mountain, and God has promised you the victory. You're like a kid. God has promised you the victory. Whatever your mountain is, God has promised he'll give you grace sufficient for that mountain. It seems like we almost ought to get blessed and say, "Well, thank God he still is interested in me. His faith has not wavered." Again, 85. Wow. There are a lot of things that you can do with the mountains. Go over here again to our mountains. All of you know the whole world looked on the mountains over there in the Olympics. The whole world is looking on that little hamlet over there, Lake Placid. The world. Because people had groomed it to ski off of it. All of those things. They used the mountains for prestige and for medals and all of this. The mountains you and I take for granted, they're right there. But people came from all over the world to conquer those mountains. I'm just trying to apply it here to some spiritual things. Now, I know a few years ago, and being in this area, I am reasonably sure that most of you know this, and this part of the message is corny. It is. I mean, but bear with me. I'll soon be done. I promise to let you out of here before the mosquitoes arrive. I promise. I promise you. But I want to tell you this personally, and I know a lot of you already know it, so please, pretend you've never heard this before. I came, you know, from the Adirondacks. Believe it or not, I was born up here in this rugged part of the country. I'm looking for somebody that looks a little excited, and, you know, like, oh, great. He's one of us. Now, if you don't know it, and I'll be quick so not to bore you, I'm doing this purposely. I was born in the Adirondacks, okay? And believe it or not, I was born on Whiteface Mountain. I was born on Whiteface Mountain. The house I was born in is still there. I was born in one house and we moved next door. Both houses are there, and if you're going up, it's about a quarter of a mile up on the left. And unfortunately, I was up there some time ago, and to this day, no one has put a plank there. You won't know it, but I was born there. Now, I want to hurry to tell you this for a purpose. When I was a kid and I was born there, and when I was about 5 years old, there was a fella came, and my mother had a friend up the street, and I think this guy maybe was a boyfriend too, my mother's friend. He came up there. He was kind of an old guy up in his 20s. It was old. I was five, about five. They closed the mountain, you know. They closed the road in the winter. And back then, you know how snow packed down. And you know, remember those years? Some of you don't, but that's the way it used to be. This old guy took my brother, one of my brothers and myself, all the way up to the toll road. He had one of these great big long old-fashioned, when they made sleds, about this high. We got on that sled at the toll road and started down, and we came down through there about 45 miles an hour. And I was a kid hanging on, tears running down my cheeks. I was hanging on for dear life. And we went all the way to the village. Doesn't mean a thing to you. My father worked on Whiteface Mountain. If you've ever been up the top, if you've ever gone up that elevator, my father helped blast that out. On and on and on. The war came. My dad got a job. We moved to Schenectady, New York. And when I started growing up, people were talking about Whiteface Mountain and how beautiful it was and what you could see, and on and on and on and on and on. You'd see bumper stickers on cars. This car climbed Whiteface Mountain, da 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 da. One day, it dawned on me. I was born on Whiteface Mountain. I went sleigh riding on it. My father worked on it. And I have never been to the top of Whiteface Mountain. I don't know what they're talking. I've never seen it. The world is talking about Whiteface Mountain. This car climbed Whiteface Mountain Memorial Highway. And nobody even knew I was born there. I got my first car when I was about 17. I said, I tell you what, I am going to experience Whiteface. I drove from Schenectady and I had a couple of buddies. I drove to the top of Whiteface Mountain, got out of my car, and I started walking up, and the higher I got, there was Mirror Lake, and there's Lake Champlain, and there's that range of mountains. The sun was glistening and water. I mean, the grandeur and the beauty. I found out what they were talking about. But I climbed the mountain, and thank God, it was everything people said it was. My friend, you can sit around our camp meetings, and you can hear people talk about the day. I got victory. I climbed over my mountain, and God gave me grace and strength. And you can hear this one and that one and another one and go through life and never know the reality of what they're talking about in this camp meeting. Years later, it was so beautiful, I wanted some of my friends, other friends, to see Whiteface Mountain. I got a bunch of guys and I drove again from Schenectady all the way up here. We got into Wilmington and I thought, boy, We started up and we're heading for the toll road. And by the way, you get so far to the mountain and there is a point where if you really are determined, you really want to see it, you stop and you pay the toll. You either pay, turn around and go back down, or turn right around that little Stevens Lake and around back down, and you can wander all the way around through and come out by Bloomingdale or Vermontville somewhere, but you won't get to the mountain unless you pay the toll. I want to tell you something. I'd come all up there. I'm going to show my buddies White-Faced Mountain. And when we got there, we started up, and the more we went, there was no mountain. It was totally covered with fog. The clouds had settled over everything. We got to the toll area, and the guy walked out and he said, "You don't want to go up on the mountain today." He said, "You won't see a thing." I got the crazy idea that I wanted to go up anyway. Sounds dumb, doesn't it? But I'm glad I did. I said, "I think we're going to." And I mean, he was telling the honest truth. We started up through there, and I want to tell you, you wound around that road in a hairpin turn. You could hardly see from here to that post. We got out of the car up there. You could hardly see your hand. But we found the walkway. Believe it or not, I climbed all the way up to the top of White-Faced Mountain. And I knew Mirror Lake was there. I knew Lake Placid was down there. I knew Champlain was there. But my buddies didn't know a thing. You could not see one single thing. But I looked down and I was standing on solid rock. Solid rock. And I knew where I was. And I knew if I'd hold on, one of these days these clouds are going to lift. And Lake Placid and Champlain and the sun and the mountains are still there. The other guys never got a thing out of it. But Brother Case, I want to tell you, through the years, I thank God I went up that day because, and I'm not here to whine, not here to cry to anybody, but I can tell you there have been other times when it didn't seem like I could see tomorrow. I mean, it was cloudy. But all I had to do is look down. Say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is. And friends, I want to tell you, you need to conquer your mountain. Get to the top, get over it somehow, and get victory over your mountain. Get your feet on the solid rock, and I can tell you, one of these days it'll be worth it all. Say, how do you know? I'll tell you. I was in Vermontville, and we had Brother Noel Scott and his wife. And I thought, hey, how would you like? And so I took the Scots over, and we climbed White-Faced Mountain again. And since I was there in the fog, guess what? The fog was gone. And Brother and Sister Scott got to see Lake Placid and Mirror Lake and all those beautiful things. It was still there. Fog, yes, it lifted. It was still there, the solid rock. And friends, and all the things that are troubling you, I don't know what's troubling you. I don't know what your mountain is, but I've got news for you. Whatever it is, you can get your feet on the solid rock and take us through these troublesome times. Thank God, thank God. I am glad, I am so glad that I went to the top. You know where we are tonight. I'm not going to take the time. But if you would go over on just past this to Joshua chapter 17, you'll hear a little discussion where Joseph and his clan, they had some inheritance coming too. And they were kind of closed in and they wanted to expand it. And you know what? Here's what they were told. If you are of a great people, which you are, if you are of a great people like you say, then head for the mountain, and you can find this little outline there. It's kind of interesting to me. Said, head for the mountain and cut wood. I mean, you start cutting your way up the mountain. You ought to read it. It's kind of neat over there. You climb the mountain. You cut wood. You climb the mountain. And before long, you'll conquer the summit. And when you conquer the summit, there are enemies there, but you then control the valley. Oh, you cut wood, climb the mountain, conquer the summit. Victory. Then you see the enemy coming. You say, oh, I've seen him before. You roll a stone over on his head and you throw boulders down. Maybe you don't have any imagination, but it's all there. So, my friend, it'll cost you something. Get out your rag spiritually. Cut some wood. Climb the mountain. Conquer the summit. Praise the Lord, and God will help you through the victories. When I was a little boy, back in Wilmington, the first time I ever remember hearing this little chorus in Wilmington camp meeting, Nazarene Camp in Wilmington, some of you know where it is, that's the first time I ever heard this little chorus. And we sang, climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain. Wasn't that a nice little chorus? Any of you remember it? Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, heavenly breezes blow. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, faces all aglow. Turn, turn from sin and darkness, looking toward the sky. Climb, climb up Sunshine Mountain, you and I. I want to close with this little personal thought. As you know, over the years, my dad took me camping and over trails. Later on, I've taken my boys over trails in the Adirondacks. And one day, just bear with me, I'm almost done. I just want to give you a little challenge. Back some time ago, I took my son, Andy, and Bob. Jack Sherman is with me, another kid. There's four or five of us. We went into the Hudson River, and you guys that have gone in there, before you get to the river, it's a nice climb up, over, and down in. We got over in there. Had a great time. Caught trout, bass, a lot of fun. And we were cutting some wood for the fire. And you can cut dead wood, and there was some, I forget just what it was, cedar wood, I think, about this big, standing dry. And it was just like you were looking up here. It was on a bank like this. And that bank went right down to the river. There was a big tree here, and there was some ledges here, not very wide. And I was up here, and I was reaching down, and I had a little saw, and it would hardly cut butter. I don't know why I took it in there, but I was cutting that tree. Brother Sherman came down. He says, Don, you want me to help you? And I said, yeah, Jack, if you want to do a little bit. So I got up behind. I'm way up like this now, and the river's down there. And I pushed on that tree like this. And he's cutting. And I pushed, and that tree snapped off. You're not going to believe this, but I was there. That tree snapped off, and I had such pressure on it, that tree went right out like that, and I went right with it. I went airborne right out about 18 feet, right out through the air. Seriously. And it was just like this. I went right, and Jack looked at me, and he said, Don, you look like you were floating. I went right out about 18 feet, right through the air. The tree went ahead of me. There was a great big tree right there, and another big tree years ago had fallen right side of that tree, and here are these ledges. And as I went through there, I started going over like this. I can't just miss that big tree with my head. I went right into that dead tree with my shoulder and everything and rolled over. And Jack said, Don, I never thought you'd get up. I rolled over and I said, well, just let me sit here for a minute. And I sat there a little bit. And one kid ran up to Andy and said, I think your father just broke his neck. Andy runs down. I said, no. I got up. But I was lame. I was a little sore. I was tough, you know, and all that. I was sore. I told you that to tell you this, and I generally don't, but of a little personal experience. We got back up to camp, we built a fire, we ate, we finished out our camping. But now it's time to go out. And right side of the fire, right there, it's just like this, right up over that mountain and down the other side. We used to carry some good-sized packs, pack baskets. Let me tell you something. That mountain was awful big. But my son looked over, and Andy, he was a rugged kid, and he says, "Dad, I'll tell you what," he said, "you put some of your stuff in my pack." We began to load my son's pack and lighten mine. Boy, I got it on, and I could handle it, but he had a lot of my load in his pack. And we started up there, and thank God for somebody with me. But we made it out. There was a little struggle. You say, "Why did you tell us that? Who cares about your camping trip and your son?" It's the closest I could come to tell you how I feel tonight in this camp meeting. You may be injured. You may be hurting. You may be having some battles or struggles or a mountain. May look awfully big, and that day it did. It was big. But thank God, my son said, "Dad, I'll take your load." I'd like to tell you, in this camp meeting, there's someone that has been in this camp meeting for years and years, and they just sang about him. The lovely name of Jesus. And if it's looming out there ahead of you, young person, mom, dad, senior, if that mountain's a little bigger than you can handle, there is someone that has slipped in here tonight that says, "Son, let me take your load." And I don't know about you, but I've been there a few times when if he hadn't lifted my load, I don't know as I could make it. And tonight he does the same thing. So thank you for listening. I'd like to see you just say, "Oh God, give me this mountain this week. Give me victory over my battle, my struggle." And he will. Well, it's certainly time to finish. Some of you got done a little ahead of me, but that's okay. You better mountain climbers. Some of you got way over the other side. You're back waiting at the car. So I'm going to let you go. But seriously, friends, I've tried to unload my heart in a little way to you. I know there's people that are hurting. There are mountains. Let's say, "God, give me this mountain this week in this camp meeting." Let's stand together. Now, we're not going to sing, and I'm letting you go shortly. But I do want to ask you, there just might be someone, it may not even be a spiritual battle, there might be someone here right tonight and said, "Brother Myers, I need somebody to help me pray over some battles that I have." And that's what we're here for. If anybody, without singing, that's not an evangelistic type of message, I know that. But if anybody would like to slip out and have some of the saints pray with you, again, that's why we're here tonight. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence tonight. We thank you for your help, and we do thank you, Lord, for those times that you have lifted our load and helped us to make it through. We thank you for friends at times that have prayed and helped lift our Lord. We're here together, and we pray that you'll help us to seek your face. Whatever battles or concerns or mountains those that are here face, please help them, Lord. Help us all together in this camp. Protect those that have to travel tonight, and if you tarry, give us an outpouring of thy Spirit in the camp. We will give you thanks. In thy name we pray. Amen.